Welcome to the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. My name is Paul Moores, and I'll be your host. We're very excited to release new content every month, and we're thankful that you would take the time out of your schedule to listen. We would really appreciate if you could rate and review this podcast on your podcast app, because it really does help people find us. I'm glad to have Pastor Darren Latham with us. He's the lead pastor here at Broadway Church in Vancouver, BC, and he's going to be our main guest throughout this podcast. So here we are. This is episode one. We are officially starting right now. So here we go. Pastor Darren, when we were talking about possible ideas to touch on for the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast, your first thought was to visit this teaching you've done that is entitled How to Deal with Difficult People. And I know if you're listening to this podcast right now, and if you're being realistic, you'll accept the fact that there are people in your life, or maybe there have been people in your life in the past that are hard to deal with or hard to work with. So Darren, why don't we start off with a definition? How do we define a difficult person?
That's a great question. And why we deal with difficult people so much, by the way, and why we're talking about this in a leadership podcast is because as leaders, we're change agents often, and we're moving people from A to B, and we're trying to convince people or influence people to change what they're doing and rethink what they're doing and maybe turn their world upside down a bit at times. And when we do that, we're tending to stir up the sediment in people's lives and in organizations.
Sure.
And so we're constantly trafficking in conflict. And so, you know, here at Broadway, we're always teaching in our leadership lessons on conflict management, conflict resolution skills, crucial conversations, because as leaders, as pastors, we're always trafficking in conflict. And so it would be wise to be skilled when it comes to dealing with difficult people, because we're going to be facing them all the time. So, to your point, what is a difficult person? And the definition that I'm going to use might be quite broad, but I think it's important for us to have this understanding in our minds. First, let me talk about what they're not.
Okay.
Okay. A difficult person is not necessarily a bad person. Now, sometimes they are the classic bad guy, and sometimes they're just really evil, mean people. So that is true. And we're going to, as we're discussing more in the weeks to come, we're going to bump up against some classic difficult people who are just evil and cruel. And we're going to talk about how to deal with them. But it's not necessarily true of someone who is a classic difficult person. It's just not synonymous. Sometimes difficult people in our lives are incredibly godly people. In fact, sometimes they're difficult because they are godly. So, for example, in the book of Galatians, you know, to speak in the biblical concept here, I think that Peter would have considered Paul a difficult person in his life. Because if you think about it, Paul talked about in Galatians how Peter was acting in a hypocritical way. And he was living in a way that he shouldn't be living. He was, and so Paul said, I confronted Peter to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. That's a quote from Galatians.
That's conflict right there, isn't it?
That's conflict. So I'm thinking Peter is looking at Paul and thinking, you are a difficult person in my life right now.
He walked right into his office and said, listen, we got to deal with this.
That's right. Exact face to face. Maybe there's some spit coming out of Paul's mouth as he was saying this stuff.
Sure.
And I envision him pointing his finger. You know, Paul just came across to me as I read scriptures, a kind of guy who was very passionate. And this was all about the message of the gospel and so on. So Paul was saying, we are not going to compromise this. Peter, you are clearly in the wrong. You're leading people astray. And he called Peter publicly. Now, think about this. Peter was the de facto kind of leader of the church, the chief apostle at that time. Can you imagine, I'm about to stand up and preach on a Sunday morning in front of a big crowd of people at the auditorium in Broadway, and you're on the front row, and you step up and you say, excuse me, Darren, before you begin, I would like to confront you on something. There's something you have been doing publicly, and so I need to confront you and call you on it publicly. You are clearly in the wrong. I got to tell you, you wouldn't be my best buddy in my mind at that moment. I would consider you as a difficult person. But truth is, if I was acting in a hypocritical way, you would be right, I would be wrong. So you wouldn't be bad, but you would certainly be difficult. So first of all, a difficult person is not necessarily a bad person.
Anything else that a difficult person is not?
Yeah, I'd say secondly, a difficult person is not necessarily wrong. Now, sometimes a difficult person is wrong, completely wrong. And truth be told, I'm hoping that they are wrong. Every time I'm dealing with a difficult person, my default is, I got to believe you're wrong because I'm never wrong. And if you think that I'm wrong, you're wrong, you know?
Right.
So our default is, no, everything we do is right, or at least not as bad as you're saying it is. So the place we naturally go to is, well, let me try to pick apart their argument. Let me see where they're wrong here. But we need to kind of give our head a shake and realize, no, just because it's a difficult person doesn't mean they're necessarily wrong. In fact, sometimes the most difficult people in my life were absolutely right. As I look back at what they were seeing, what they were saying, they were actually my best friends, and I didn't realize it at the moment. Mm. They were saving me
sure.
from a lot of heartache and from a lot of pain. And again, I'm sure Peter, when he got older in life, when he would look back, I can imagine him around campfire saying, ah, man, remember that time Paul confronted me to my face in Galatia? Oh, I wanted to punch him. Because Peter was that old fisherman mm-hmm. who had a hair trigger temper himself. So I'm sure, you know, my old nature rose up. I almost punched him in the face. But, you know, looking back, we laugh about it now. And he was right. I was wrong. I deserved it. So I can imagine, you know, Peter later in his life saying, yeah, boy, my bad. I blew it there. And I'm glad that Paul came around and called me on it. He had the courage to do it. I'm glad he did. He was a difficult person, but he was the right person.
Well, just before we move on to what a difficult person is, I just want to circle back to something you said right off the top, where you said that conflict is something that we traffic in all the time. So just like we're saying a difficult person is not necessarily wrong, conflict, which is this word that we hate, or we walk away from or run away from, you're also saying that conflict is not wrong.
Exactly. Conflict, in fact, is often the only way forward. Conflict is always what is often the first step in progress. Because if I've status quo, until status quo becomes uncomfortable, I'll stick with it. I tend to just stick with it. You get sedentary in your mind and your lifestyle, but if you think about it, you could have a disease growing in your body that you don't even know about, but until it brings pain, you're not aware of it. In fact, I've done teaching in the past, and I've heard teaching in the past, but that's one of the reasons why God created pain, because if I didn't have pain, then I wouldn't know to deal with issues in my life. And conflict is sort of institutional pain. It's sure. relational pain.
Right.
It's, hey, I'm in conflict. There's a tension happening here. What's the source of this? So often conflict is it's the smoke that there's fire in the corner
sure.
over there.
Sure.
It's letting you know that, hey, there's something here that needs your attention.
So we've talked about what a difficult person isn't. Why don't we go on now and talk about what a difficult person is? Let's give some definition to that.
Okay, so a difficult person is, I would call them the classic squeaky wheel. Mm. There's the old saying that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And that's your classic difficult person. There's someone who's always making noises in your life. You just, you can't ignore them. I'm the type of person, as I'm driving my car, my wife thinks I'm crazy for this, but if I'm driving my car, if I hear the slightest little jiggle,
yes.
I'll stop the car and I'm going to find out what is that. Is it something in the glove compartment? Is there a screw loose somewhere? And Jan will often say, "Well, there's a screw loose somewhere." All right,
that's an easy.
It's
joke.
In the driver's
yeah.
seat. Yeah, that was an easy one. But somewhere, I've been known to stick Kleenex somewhere just to stop something from rattling. I can't handle rattles and squeaky stuff. Well, that's what a difficult person often is. They're the rattle. They're the squeaky noise in your life that's driving you crazy. They're irritating you, but they're constantly in your ear. They're constantly in your life, nagging you. In fact, I looked up years ago synonyms for the word difficult, and you can hear the squeaky wheel nature in the synonyms. Here's some synonyms for difficult: troublesome, tiresome, trying, exasperating.
How come I'm thinking of people, specific people with those?
One.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Awkward, demanding, contrary, unaccommodating. Remember that one. Circle
yes,
that one
okay.
in your mind. We're going to come back to that. Unaccommodating, unhelpful, uncooperative. Now, they're not always these things, but that's how they come across to us. On first glance, they feel unhelpful. we learn in the long run, they can be very helpful. But this is how they present themselves to us. They are the classic squeaky wheel.
This is great, Darren. Anything else you would add to the definition of a difficult person?
Yeah, a couple more quick thoughts. One would be a difficult person is someone who makes us feel uncomfortable. I suppose we're kind of repeating myself in one sense, but I love the story of the Rebel in the Ranks. I read it
years
ago.
The Rebel in the Ranks. Sounds like a mystery novel.
Yes, exactly. That'd be a good title for one. I remember reading about this years ago in a teaching on conflict resolution. And the classic story goes like this. There's a seminar being held or an equipping, you know, a seminar or something being held for a large organization. And they divide their staff up into tables. And let's say there's 30 tables in this room. Each table has 10 people at it. And every table is given the identical problem to solve, okay? But of those tables, half of the tables secretly have a rebel in the ranks placed at the table, meaning they have a curmudgeon placed at the table. They have someone secretly placed at half the tables whose job is to push back on everything everyone says. They're to be the squeaky wheel at that table and say, yeah, I don't think so. What about this? Oh, I don't agree with that. And so as they're discussing trying to solve the problem, they're always pushing back. Well, here's the thing. So they did this. And after a half hour of all the tables trying to solve this shared problem, then what they did was they would have to go and present their solutions to the whole group. And surprisingly enough, the table that had the rebel in the ranks actually provided better solutions than the ones that didn't have the rebel in the ranks. But here's the thing. They still don't know that there's a rebel in the ranks. Mm. But then each table is given another problem to solve, except before they solve the second problem, they have to vote one person off their table.
Now, who did they vote off?
Exactly. You can imagine every time the rebel in the rank would be voted off the table, the one who was making them better was also making them feel uncomfortable, and so they voted them off. We tend to do that in our lives. We tend to push the difficult people away from us, even though they're often making us better.
They're making us better, and we're pushing them away. Why do you think it is within our human nature that leads us towards doing that?
Well, actually, that brings us to the last point that I'd like to bring out on what makes a difficult person difficult. It's because they refuse to fall in line and they refuse to agree with everything that we say or we do. And we don't like that. I don't like it when people don't agree with me. I don't like it when people don't follow my orders or fall in line. It's my nature. You know, we all think that our ideas are the best. We tend to think that anyway. And we don't like it when people push back and refuse to fall in line and agree with us. And so we say to ourselves, why is that person being so difficult? And we label them like contrarian or a troublemaker, or we'll say, you know, they're really not a team player.
That's a good one.
And when we say team player, we mean they just don't agree with me. Because suddenly they're difficult. But we call people difficult because they don't jump when we say jump. And so we tend to push them away from our lives. And we're unwise to do that because, again, it's the squeaky wheel. It's the contrarian who makes us think, who makes us go the extra mile, who makes us really back up and prove what we're saying and what we're thinking, and can also reveal, often reveal blind spots in our lives.
So let's review.
Okay.
We've taken some time to define what a difficult person is. We've said that a difficult person is not necessarily someone who is bad. We've said a difficult person is not necessarily someone who is wrong. We've said that a difficult person is the classic squeaky wheel. We've said that a difficult person is someone who makes us feel uncomfortable, the rebel in the ranks. And we've said that a difficult person is someone who refuses to fall in line and agree with everything we say or do. So in the midst of that, Pastor Darren, what is the work of leadership when it comes to difficult people? How does leadership interact with difficult people?
Well, this is the key. So it's one thing to recognize a difficult person, and then it's the next thing in leadership is to determine how to respond to that difficult person. So, you know, how do you deal with them? How do you deal with someone who gets under your skin, who causes tension in your life, who's a source of frustration in your world? This is the key, and this is what sets good leaders apart from not so good leaders. There's an old saying that when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
True.
And so, but if you have a wider toolbox, then you're more skilled as a handyman. I wouldn't know. I'm not a handyman, but I've read that.
Yes.
And so when it comes to being a handyman, when it comes to leadership, the key to dealing with difficult people is to diagnose the type of difficult person in your life. So we've talked about, you know, different types, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, sometimes they're helpful, sometimes they're evil, sometimes they're not. So when we're learning about how to deal with a difficult person, the first step you have to take is to diagnose what kind of a difficult person they are. And over the decades of my leadership, I've come across about, I don't know, four or five, a few different classic types of difficult person that I've sort of categorized and given nicknames to with some broad categories. And I've just learned how to deal with each of them a little bit differently because they're different flavors of difficult people. So I've learned to label them, and then I've learned how to deal with each of the different labels in a distinct way. And I think we should talk about that over the next few weeks.
Darren, this has been a great introduction into this topic about dealing with difficult people. We are going to continue this next month with the next episode of the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. Folks, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I want to give a big thanks to our audio producer, Mr. Grant McAllister, for making everything sound great and for writing that cool jingle you'll hear at the beginning and the end of the podcast. Remember, we do this podcast because when it comes to leadership, that'll do, just won't do. We'll see you next month.